Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, it is a red Friday in Kansas City. That's right, Cody. It's a red Friday.
Find red Friday on Friday. We've all agreed to those terms.
Some of us on this show are wearing red. I can't say all three of us. Some of us. You guys can check out the video stream to determine who the third member of the show is not wearing red. But anyway, it's red Friday. The Chiefs getting set to take on the Ravens. We're going to keep an eye on Andy Reid's press conference in the 1 o'clock hour today if he confirms playing status for a couple players. Although, Xavier Worthy has been a full participant in practice the last couple days. All signs point to him playing and really his first, hopefully, full game of the 2025 season. The Chiefs, 2.5-point underdogs. Of course, you'll hear the game right here on 96.5. The Fan pregame coverage begins 3 hours before kickoff with Josh Briscoe.
Should get the official injury designation later today, but yeah, all signs definitely point that way. Next up on What's Trending, not so good around the rest of the league. Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin officially out for Sunday's game for the Washington Commanders. That snaps a 74-game start streak for Terry McLaurin, who had been about as healthy as they come. Jaden Daniels will miss another week, which means it will be Marcus Mariota for the Bills. No Ed Oliver and no Matt Milano against the Saints. So maybe, oh wait, what do they have this week? The Saints, right? Yeah, they're like a 15.5, 16-point
favorite. The Bills?
Yes. Yeah. Against them. And the Bucs currently have three questionable. Two that are good, Tristan Wirfs and Chris Godwin, are both questionable. Remember, they haven't played at all this year for the Bucs, but Baker Mayfield also on the list of questionable for the Bucs on Sunday. So I have to keep an eye on that one as well.
Elsewhere on What's Trending, baseball wraps up at least regular season this weekend. And unfortunately, that means the season for the Kansas City Royals. They did win last night 9-4, a four-hit day from Bobby Witt Jr., a three-run home run for Vinny. And then Salvador Perez came up with three RBI last night to get him to 100 RBI on the season. The Royals trying to lock up a winning season at least with a series this weekend out in Sacramento, taking on the Athletics. Another late start this evening right here on 96.5 The Fan.
They're at 80-79, so they'll have to win the series in order to have a winning record. That's actually the first duo in Royals history to have a pair of guys hitting 30 home runs and 100 RBI. Salvador Perez and, of course, Vinny Pasquantino, who's up to 111 ribbies. Lastly on What's Trending, Ryder Cup currently in action as the U.S. is at Bethpage Black. Not a great morning. Went down 3-1 in the morning set. The afternoon slate is now underway, so no points determined in that. So in the alternate shot format in the early going, the U.S. lost three of those skin matches and currently trail by 2 points.
Long ways to go.
That's what they said last year when they were immediately down 4 points and they got run.
Europe's got to get to 14. The U.S. has to get to 14.5, of course, extra half point because they did not win last time. Europe trying to retain the Ryder Cup.
That's what's trending.
Drew, pretty bad star, man. Ryder Cup squad looking. Have you had that on all day?
Drew
walked
in.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Drew walked into the building today, and he was watching it on his phone as he walked in the building.
Were you driving in your car with that on?
No, we've already had this discussion before. I'll turn on YouTube TV, but I'll put my phone down in like the compartment or whatever.
So
I can still hear the coverage.
No, we have had this convo before.
I don't trust you to keep it down.
You go and you can have the audio from a game, or in this case, you know, the Ryder Cup, and you can have your phone in the cup holder or whatever and just have the audio.
Coverage audio in the car. Electric.
If I happen to be at a stoplight, if I happen to be at a stoplight, I might.
That's the problem.
Take a look.
Here's the issue.
Because then Cody's behind you honking.
Here's the issue. You say you don't do it, and I can know what happened. Gold's got the football game on. He's got it on YouTube. He's got it down. He promises.
Me, he's the one today.
And you said you'd do it too. And then Collinsworth was like, whoa, what a catch. I know you're looking at your phone. I know you're looking at your phone. Don't deny it. I know if they're like, what a shot from Scotty. You look. I know you look. You shouldn't be watching TV while you're driving.
I don't grab my phone and be like, whoa, I got to watch it right now. I'll wait a second and I'll pause it.
Yeah, see?
Or I'll wait a minute.
Until the next light.
Yeah,
and then he's checking.
Exactly, until the next light.
You're not wrong. I would say, though, Cody is over here acting like he's never used his phone while driving in his life.
But I watch TV.
Again, you're acting like you've never used your phone while driving.
Well, I'm not. That's not what I claim. I've definitely used my phone while driving.
Text slide. All of a sudden, Cody's against breaking the rules. Mm. We found the limit for Cody. Bank robbery, Cody's fine. ATM theft, he's fine. Cutting lines, fine.
Skip lagging, fine.
Stealing at Walmart, fine.
Nope. I didn't do that on purpose. That was an accident.
Okay.
Although I've made it clear, I'm not trained to be a cashier. If I make mistakes, that's not on me.
Mistakes.
That was a mistake. Mm-hmm. The time I stole the trash can. You think I'm on a list?
There is no mistake of stealing.
I didn't mean to steal it.
Someone says, what's the difference between looking at your GPS on the touchscreen on your like on the Ford F-150, the GPS is right there. It's right next to me on the F-150. It's right there.
There's a decided difference between the two, and I don't think we need to get into the details of what's the difference between watching television while you drive.
Please don't do this, texter. Someone says, I'm texting you guys. Please do not text the show and drive. Please do not do that. That's a terrible decision.
I'll text by voice in the car sometimes.
I've noticed that. I can see that pop up when you text me.
Does it say Siri?
It says sent from, using Siri or whatever it says.
Yeah, I use that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to take my eyes off the road for any of that. I just click the little button. Does it really say every time I send that it says sent
from
my car?
If it's from yours, it'll say.
If you use Siri to send it, then it'll say sent from Siri.
Hmm. Well, they know I'm driving Siri.
At least if you have an iPhone, of course.
I mean,
Team iPhone.
I do have an iPhone. But
Someone's coming in that you took the leftover food from the leftover tacos.
I wasn't here. It was from 4 to 7:15. I think it's pretty established. We know that it's one of 8 people in the building. This one is not me.
Mm. Just call people out.
Yeah.
Name the person.
Who?
Since you're calling everybody else out for stuff right now, let's go ahead.
Thank you. Who is it?
I don't want to start fights in this building.
Oh, but you have.
I have who I suspect it is. But I don't know that it's that person, and so I will not accuse them.
You said they're on this side of the building.
He said that they don't work at our station, so that really narrows it down.
So really I pretty much told you I think it's one of like 5 people.
You think they stole all the leftover Mexican food that we had for a party?
Someone did. And there were only so many people in the building. JT gave us a timeline of the crime between 4 and 7.
Timeline of the crime. Were you going to eat the food?
No.
Why are you so angry?
Mostly I felt bad because the nice person who works downstairs seemed bothered that they were so selfish.
Okay.
And I don't think Joe deserves to be treated that way. One of the nicest people in this entire building.
Yes, I agree with that. Yep. All right, we will get to our golden locks coming up in about 8 minutes or so. But let's get into how the script has to go for the Chiefs. Text line 913-586-7965. The script if the Chiefs win, the script if the Chiefs lose. We'll do our final predictions in the Fan Club Friday 1 o'clock hour presented by Jay Rieger and Co. I think the Chiefs win, so much of it is all about the offense. I think we're all in agreement. I'm not saying that Baltimore offensively will not have success. They will, but I'm confident in Steve Spagnuolo shutting down Derrick Henry. And by shutting him down, I mean hold him under 100 yards. And that is exactly what they've done. 2 out of the last 3 times a Steve Spagnuolo defense has faced Derrick Henry, they held him in check in the opener a year ago. But I also think if we're being realistic, of course, this formula of what it looks like for the Chiefs to win, it means the offense can not have these drives in which they sputter out very quickly in the first half. I think there is something to the confidence of the Ravens defense that they get if the Chiefs' opening drive of the game is a 3-and-out or it's a short drive. All of a sudden, Baltimore's thinking, okay, we can shut these guys down, something we haven't done against really anybody in 2025. For me, Xavier Worthy, what does it look like for the Chiefs to win? He cannot just be a decoy or something. He needs to be heavily involved. And maybe he's not getting
the 80%, 70% of the workload.
Sure, but he has to be heavily involved in the game plan. I tend to think he will be when we get official word this afternoon that he's going to play or won't be questionable or something like that. He has to be impactful in this offense. To me, they shouldn't really hold much back from him if he's playing in the game. That's part of what allows this team to get a win against Baltimore, if that's what it looks like.
Andy is typically, not always, sometimes he does kind of baby people a little bit, but if he's available to play, he's available. And I don't know why you wouldn't use him like a regular member of your offense. And you and I both know he was the biggest part of their plan for game one against the Chargers. That obviously went out the window. And he was the most heavily used wide receiver by the Chiefs by a mile in the final 6 to 8 games of the regular season. More than Travis Kelce, more than anyone else. They used Xavier Worthy a ton. I kind of think he's going to lead the team in catches on Sunday. This might be why I'm leaning Chiefs, although admittedly, this is not like for radio fodder. I'm very torn on whether to choose the Chiefs or the Ravens to win the game because I think it is a razor-thin margin. You're essentially asking me to predict which team accidentally makes a mistake because it might come down to just that or which team possesses the ball last and if that team actually comes through in the clutch. And if it's Mahomes, my answer would probably be yes. If it's Lamar, 50-50. Chance, I think he would in that spot. And so to win the game, I think they have to run the ball well. I think they have to use Xavier Worthy. And I do think that they have to stop Lamar Jackson on the ground. I think it's a really, really big part of them winning the game on Sunday is Lamar can't run for 80. He can't look like Lamar the past. And not that he hasn't this year. He's been great. But he can't just run all over you. That part of it, I think, is really important. Because if he runs all over you, Gold, you're not getting off the field. The defense is giving up more points than normal. You don't get to possess the ball as much as you would like. All of the stuff that eventually run into problems. And so, like, I would just say in general, avoid that. Try to find a way to stop that. Say Flowers get you. You had mentioned the tight ends earlier. They get you. I'll live my life.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson, by the way, just for reference, in the opener last year, the Chiefs, we all know, won. Lamar had 122 yards rushing in the in that particular game. So if we're just trying to figure out what that looks like, you know why it was okay that Lamar had 122? Derrick Henry only had 46 yards. That was a game in which Isaiah Likely absolutely tore up this defense. He's questionable, it looks like, for Sunday's game. He hasn't played at all this season. But we talked about the tight ends earlier in the show. Like, I think that's an area to watch again. The Chiefs haven't really faced a good tight end yet in 2025, and that's an area they struggled against last year. I wonder if that comes into play. Again, I think it's pretty easy to find out what it looks like if the Chiefs lose, right? We can all figure out what that script looks like. Most likely it involves Derrick Henry not fumbling the ball and having 100-plus yards rushing for the first time in 2 years against Kansas City. You know, it probably involves the Chiefs offensively having a turnover, something that they have really actually done a pretty good job of. We all know that the Kelce drop that led to the pick in Philly. But for the most part, this hasn't been a start to the season 1-2 where they're turning the ball over 2 times a game or anything. No. It's actually been fairly clean in that regard.
Got a little close in the last game.
It did. It definitely did. But I think if they lose, it's once again that there's no running game established. You allow the Ravens early on to get some confidence. They're getting after Patrick Mahomes, something they did not do against Jared Goff. Remember, the Ravens did not sack Jared Goff once in the game. And Patrick Mahomes is far more mobile than Jared Goff is.
They're an interesting team. Somebody said, like, hey, the game plan's been the same. Shut down Derrick Henry and make Lamar beat you with the pass. And he's like, and he can't beat you with the pass. What's interesting, though, is, I mean, he is one of the best throwers. Like, that's an old storyline, in my opinion. Lamar Jackson is one of the best throwers of the football in the entire NFL.
He was better than Josh Allen last year, and he won the MVP.
I mean, he's legitimately great at it. He has 9 passing touchdowns, which leads the NFL to 0 interceptions. And look, part of that is because they're having to throw so damn much. He is completing 72% of his passes. Lamar can absolutely, and leading in yards per attempt, so he's throwing the ball down the field. So Lamar absolutely can torch you in this game if you allow it.
But they're very good in the passing game, you know, he's
been running for less than I'm used to.
Yeah, I would say this is not a Bill Polian take from 7 years ago that he can't throw the ball. But I will say if you're the Chiefs defense, you would rather Lamar Jackson have to beat you through the air than Derrick Henry running or Lamar running. And so I think that you can acknowledge that he's a very good passer, and that old take was dumb.
I just think it's a drive extender when he runs, and that's
sure.
the
no,
problem.
I'm just saying you would still rather force Lamar Jackson to beat you through the air, and a lot of that has to do with the lack of weapons in the passing game.
Zay Flowers is very good, though. Like that to me is also like, I don't think that they have a tremendous amount of weapons outside of that, but Zay Flowers is one of the better wide receivers over the last couple of years. I'm not saying he's Justin Jefferson, but he's really good, and they have weapons, and they can score. I will say, to beat the Ravens, going back to that.
Yeah, he only had 2 catches last week.
I do think this will have to be there, but his previous 2 weeks were excellent. I do think he will have to be 7 for 75. Yeah. Well, okay, maybe not next
week one though. Week one he was awesome.
Yeah, week one awesome. And 7 for 75 is a, I mean, I don't think we're knocking that. That's a 1,200 yard, 1,300 yard sure. season. If you did that every day for like 150 catches.
Yep.
I do think when you're looking at what I think this is going to have to be the Chiefs' best offensive performance. I don't think that they can just simply win it by what we're talking about, shutting down Derrick Henry and saying Lamar beat us through the air. I think this is going to have to be their best offensive performance. To this point, their best offensive performance is like, I don't know, the third quarter of the Giants game. Outside of that, there's not been, and well, you know what, they scored in the final five possessions of the game against Philly. So like they've had these spurts where they've
Chargers.
They've had these spurts where they have played good offensive football. Can you play four good, not great, four good quarters of offensive football? Hold the ball, move it, score, those things. Not score on every drive. Well, if they play be efficient.
If they play their best offensive game of the season, they're winning this football game. And I actually think if that's the case, they win, you know, dare I say, comfortably, as in six or more points. I mean, I don't think they have to play their best offensive game to win. I think you go back to what happened in week two against Philadelphia. I think that's the style of game, once again, while it's frustrating for fans to watch, that's the style that leads to a victory this go-around for Kansas City. If all of a sudden the offense looks great out of nowhere because the Ravens' defense stinks or something like that, then nobody should be concerned at all if that's what's happening. I'm not convinced the Chiefs are having their best offensive performance of the season, although Xavier Worthy positions them to be more effective offensively. I just think it's like a no-brainer. If you guarantee me the Chiefs have their best offensive performance, which is not a high bar, admittedly, so far in 2025, then I think it's fairly comfortable win.
I do have a genuine fear that if it went like that, that you would have to keep scoring. Like, if you got into a game, Gold, where you're scoring and scoring well, the Ravens can score with their backs against the wall, and you might get into a game where you're not allowed to mess up a drive offensively, and you're going to have to score the way the other two teams who beat the Ravens scored, which was nonstop and constantly. I like, in a way, I would just prefer this game. If I had a dream scenario, this game is played in the low 20s. Like, it is played in that range. Not the teens, that's too low. Not the 30s, that's too high. Low 20s, 23, 24, maybe upwards of 27, 20.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
That feels like the sweet spot for a win for Kansas City is that the teams are somewhere in that range offensively, because it also means limited possessions, long drives.
Well, that's the formula, I think, for Sunday. I will say that the Ravens, despite their 1-2 record, you know, they have failed to just close out games. They had the lead late in Buffalo, Derrick Henry fumble. They obviously had the lead, you know, at one point in time, even in the game against Detroit, and they failed to close out the game. That's been their problem. Can you force them to not even be in that spot in this game? You know, are they going to make a mistake for a third straight game or a second straight game in terms of not closing? It's not like Baltimore has been playing from behind much this year either. Can you force them to have to do that? That's where they haven't played. They've been pretty comfortable. They've been playing inside their own game plan for much. They just failed and made a mistake late.
If you're curious if the Ravens are going to get someone back, John Harbaugh did say that Isaiah Likely practiced again today, but has also said in his presser that no determination yet has been made whether he'll make his debut on Sunday.
Kind of feel like he's going to.
He was a limited participant each of the last 2 days. It sounds like he did a little bit more today at practice. It does feel like he's going to probably make his debut on Sunday. And he was obviously a big problem for the Chiefs in the game last year. It's so crazy. That was more than a year ago. They faced each other in week one of the regular season last year. Do you know how much has happened since then? It's just another weapon for the Ravens. That's all. And an offense that has not needed another weapon to this point, I guess, for what it's worth. Although Ronnie Stanley didn't practice each of the last 2 days. The Chiefs have not taken enough advantage of the bad offensive lines they've gone up against. That's been easily the most frustrating part. They've gone up against backup tackles and have not made enough headway yet. I'd like a game where they beat up on a team.
They're facing one that gave up seven sacks to the Lions. So there should be, your expectations should be at least probably two or three sacks probably. Just based on how they've played, I think they've given up at least two sacks in every game.
Yeah.
The Ravens offensive line has.
But the Chiefs have not been taking advantage of that.
And that's the crazy thing. That's with Lamar Jackson at quarterback too. And we know how good Lamar is at
you don't get
escaping.
Sacks. You don't
so
get
that's
sacked.
Impressive.
You don't get sacked seven times without it being in large part also due to the quarterback and holding on the ball too long and all that, right? Like, we can mention how an offensive line stinks. If you're getting sacked seven times, that also means your quarterback's not getting the ball out and
unless you're just
getting open either.
Operational problem more than it is just the offensive line. Agreed. Seven sacks is a crazy amount.
At some point, go max protect if you're a team. Like, yeah, that's an operate, not just a blocking issue. I agree.
All right, let's get to some golden locks heading into the weekend. We do this each and every Friday on the show. Little Circamillion update real quick, too.
Oh, yeah. Where are we amongst the... How many people were in the entry? Like 5,000?
I think around 5,000. Myself, you, Dusty, Bink, Rob, Speck, all are part of this Circamillion entry. You guys know the story from week one, unfortunately. Last week, 5-0.
Yeah!
Like that. Everybody had a nice contribution to the 5-0 week with some picks. We are at a 5,900 and something place, okay? We're 953. Top 100.
Top 20%?
Top 100 get paid at the end. The new quarter starts after this week. There were two entries that are 1-14, if you're wondering, for the last place prize. I'm jealous. I'm jealous of that. But now we're just trying to get going here a little bit.
We're about 500.
We have not determined our five picks, although there's some consensus it looks like happening with a couple games. One game that I really want to be part of this entry for us this week, Green Bay -6.5, Sunday Night Football against the Cowboys. Micah Parsons returns to Dallas. He is reportedly going to get the most snaps he's had all year. They're going to fully unleash Micah Parsons against the Dallas Cowboys front. I'm excited to see that.
You see he's going to have a suite full of people, too?
Yeah, because he already had
it. They said they wouldn't give him a refund on the suite.
Yeah, he already had the suite. The Dallas Cowboys defense is atrocious. They made Caleb Williams look like a Hall of Famer last week. And the Packers, yes, did just come off a loss to the Cleveland Browns, which actually oddly makes me feel even better about this bet.
Yeah.
They got, to me, full attention heading into this one with the Dallas Cowboys. So I like Green Bay -6.5. It's a larger spread, but it's still under a touchdown. So you're not worried about they need to win by 8 points. Win by a touchdown and you get a cover. That's a game that I like. One you and I have been talking about throughout the day that now has shifted. It wasn't a game on my radar as much, but in the circuit contest,
the lines
lock before the injuries happen. So Atlanta on the circuit contest, we're getting as a 1-point dog against Washington. You mentioned the news during What's Trending, Marcus Mariota, Terry McLaurin not going to play on Sunday for the Commanders. So the fact that now Atlanta is a 2-point favorite, the fact we could get them at +1 as a 1-point dog, really like Atlanta.
Depending on which book you go to, yeah, right now, at one book, Washington's up to a 2.5-point underdog. So, like, you're talking about a 3.5-point swing for us, Gold, on Atlanta. We got to be at least tempted by that, don't we?
It's one that's on the list. I think if I look at our consensus picks for our contest, right now there's two people have... Speck has Pittsburgh. Speck has Atlanta, Chicago, and Detroit. Bink has the Titans +7, Pittsburgh +2.5, Cincy +7.5. I told you I like Green Bay, Atlanta. Cincy +7.5 is one I would like to include. I think they're going to lose to Denver on Monday Night Football, but I think they can cover. You have the Giants +6.5 against the Chargers.
I think offensive line problems.
You also like Green Bay -6.5. You have KC +2.5. And then there's a few other. Dusty's got KC, Chicago, Pittsburgh. Rob's got Tampa, Detroit, Minnesota. So I think the consensus, four of our five picks, I think, are determined. I think Pittsburgh +2.5. Cincy +7.5, Green Bay -6.5, Atlanta +1. I think those are all going to be included. The question is debating the final pick, but I do think the pick that scares me the most that I think we're going to go with is going to be the Pittsburgh +2.5 against Minnesota, because I actually think with Carson Wentz, the Vikings offense is more than capable against Pittsburgh.
I think, you know, what's funny is, like, I think I'd be on the other side of that line, but that's the thing when you're, when you're working against each other a little bit, you got to kind of deal with that side of
it. No, we're a team, man. We're a team, all right?
I just meant, you know, like, people are going to not have the... People are going to like other sides of the line sometimes, that's all. Like, so, Rob happens to like the other side. I might be on the -2.5 there. I do think we have to. I think sometimes it's just like, it's the smart play to say that other books we would get... We're just essentially being given 3.5 free points that we don't have in other spots, considering Atlanta. That feels like the kind of game I'm supposed to take just because of that, because the lines lock at a certain point and then Circa doesn't change them for the contest picks. Not on their book, but doesn't change them for those. It just kind of feels like what we got to do. I'm going to end up switching one. I can feel it.
That's a little look at some of the lines for this weekend. The Golden Locks, trying to see if we can't keep the 5-0 momentum going from our Circa contest entry last week. Up next, let's talk a little bit about something that we haven't heard much on. That's the old stadium front. The governor of Missouri had some comments yesterday. We'll fill you in on that. Plus, we'll get to the random question of the day right here on Cody and Gold.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We're a half hour away from Fan Club Friday here on Cody and Gold. Fan Club Friday presented by Jay Rieger and Co. Cody's already in the process of getting some of the cocktails ready. Today's cocktail, Negroni. More on that coming up in a half hour. We'll tell you about a cool event that folks over at Jay Rieger are doing as well. Negroni versus Martini. We have two tickets to their social celebration that's going to be going on tomorrow night from 5 to 7 o'clock. We'll tell you a little bit more about that at the Hey Hey Club with couple
love the Hey Hey Club.
Legends in the field there, the beverage industry, I should say. Tom Nickel and also a New York Times writer going to be there. Negroni, martini cocktails, plus, of course, some paired up bites. A lot of stories, insights, the ultimate cocktail debate. Negroni versus martini. That's going on coming up tomorrow. So we'll have a pair of tickets to give away during Fan Club Friday. Jay Binkley going to be our guest as well.
I pulled him some Oktoberfest.
You don't think he's going to go Negroni today?
Look, I love a Negroni. No complaint about it, but I pulled Binkley some Oktoberfest.
Smart decision.
We treat our guest appropriately.
That's true. That's
Rieger
true.
Rieger won't complain, I promise.
That's very true. So we're looking forward to a fun Fan Club Friday. We'll give our game predictions in that hour, and you'll also hear our conversation, if you missed it, with Alex Smith. He joined the show at 11:30, but if you missed that conversation, we will bring that back around 1:30 today on the show.
When we look at the stadium front, felt like it's gone a little quiet gold, and yet,
yeah,
here we go. Let's fire back up. We're almost to October, which means we're 2 months away from when we think things will start kind of ratcheting up on this end, and the Missouri governor is already putting it back on the city once again. Here we are once again. When's the recall for Frank White, the recall vote? Isn't that like today, tomorrow?
It's pretty coming. Soon. It's coming up. Now, you're right. The 2 month thing, people have thought about that only because if you believe the true deadline, Kansas claims, you know, the star bonds, you know, December and it's done.
Really,
you
that
and I have said, you're telling me that if things fell apart in March or something, that you wouldn't allow them to still utilize it. Anyway, so that's what's going on there. And then, yeah, Mike Kehoe, the governor of Missouri, yesterday, this is an article from Fox 4, our friend Jonathan Katz, who's done a great job covering a lot of the stadium stuff. He had some quotes from Mike Kehoe, and here I'll just read a few of them. He said, quote, "I think the Chiefs are definitely interested in making sure that along with the state's package that we did in a special session early June, that Jackson County comes through with the piece that will be needed on their end." He basically is putting pressure on the Kansas City leaders to finalize this plan to keep the Chiefs in Missouri. He did hint as well in this article that a decision on the stadium could come in the next couple of months. Although, as we know, the team has not really ever committed to a formal timeline. There's been multiple timelines. In the same article, it did mention, though, the Royals, which this one seems a little more complicated now. While the Chiefs would need a public vote in Jackson County, we know the Royals and the rumors about the Washington Square Park site. It mentions that the old Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City headquarters, remember they've moved, and now that was the Washington Square Park site. There's a new owner of that building, of that property. Now, the mayor, Quentin Lucas, was asked by Fox 4 if he thinks the purchase of that property means the Royals are no longer considering that site. The mayor said, quote, "Not at all. We're proud to welcome Crane, who's the new property owner, to Kansas City. Having already built a strong relationship with City Hall, we know Crane will work closely with the city and all other entities as we build out the future of the former Blue KC offices in the Washington Square Park area." Look, overall, this isn't a huge change from what we've been hearing. The pressure and the decision is not only on the teams, but it's on leaders in Kansas City. But as we said, I think 3 weeks ago, when we discussed kind of where we're at on the stadium stuff, at some point it's like, man, everybody's sick of this like back and forth. Somebody at some point come out and either make a decision or say, hey, point blank, instead of this behind closed door stuff, point blank, it is Blake's fault why we don't have this done.
They're all going to blame each other. Sure, if it ends up not like, where they wanted it.
Is it the Chiefs holding up the Royals? Are the Royals holding up the Chiefs? Is it the mayor that's screwing it up? Well, what, I don't. By the way, I don't know who it is. I'm just saying, at some point, just say it. Let's just move on instead of this. Well, we think we're close and we're looking at everything that's best. This thing has been dragging on for 3+ years. In April, it will be 2 years since the failed vote.
2 years since the failed. What's taking so long? Some of this is an unwillingness to just shift real plans, because this has always been the part that's fascinated to me, Gold. And a lot of this speaks, it's very true. Neither team really wants to go to Kansas. Let's just be honest here. They don't, like, that wasn't ever and has never been their first choice. So whenever they try to spin it, because I do still think one of them will end up in Kansas, at least, they'll spin it as, no, we loved it this whole time. Nuh-uh. They offered you the money a billion years ago. It's been 2 years since your failed vote. If you wanted to go to Kansas that bad, you could have taken their money by now. You would prefer, and I still think Clark would prefer, to renovate Arrowhead. I know for borderline a fact, they have plans for a different renovation for Arrowhead. I don't know if they're going to present those or not, or if that'll ever be presented, knowing the fact that they're still going to have to get Jackson County to put another thing on a potential ballot in the spring. The part of this is like, at some point, you're going to have to announce what you're doing here. You're behind everyone. You'd mentioned the Denver Broncos started their process like 2 full years after the Chiefs and Royals had started their process.
I understand.
And they've already announced a site.
And theirs is, if not all, primarily, you know, they claim it's entirely privately funded. I still haven't seen like the specifics, if that's 100% true. But either way, they started later, and they're ahead of the curve, and they're planning on opening their stadium in 2030 or 2031, which is the exact same timeline that we've been discussing in Kansas City for years now. But at some point, I'm not saying if they were to get this thing resolved in the next couple of months, they still can't have a new stadium in 2031 if that's what they choose. They could, but you're running out of time to hit that deadline. You really are. At some point, there's a huge, you know, process of, I mean,
it's 2025. The Royals have to start building their stadium the next year.
It's 2026 in like 3 months.
Yeah, I know. And they better get
rolling. Less than 3 months.
The thing is, the Royals aren't, like, I could see the Chiefs because they actually do want to renovate. Wouldn't surprise me, right, Gold? They feel like they might got time because I think they'd rather stay there. And I think it'd be easier for them to extend their current lease if they needed a few years, even if they were moving out. I think they'd charge them an arm and a leg, but the Truman Sports Complex would find a way to keep them there for a brief period of time longer. I don't think the Royals want to be anywhere near that parking lot by the time 2030 hits. I think they want out. I think, and the original timeline for these teams, you remember, was 2028, right? When they put on the vote goal, we could have been 2 years away from a brand new downtown Royal Stadium.
No, see, that's working. No, that we've,
it was like 2028 when they first talked about it, wasn't it?
Well, not the April vote. The April vote was not to have a stadium ready in 2028.
I thought it was.
The way bigger announcement back in, like, right after COVID or before COVID or whatever was initially, but not the vote from, not last April, but the April of 2024 was not to have Arrowhead renovated by 2028.
Not Arrowhead, Kauffman,
and not to have I don't believe the downtown ballpark would have been ready in 2028. I thought that was also a 2029, 2030. Maybe I'm off on the timelines. We've gone through this.
I think it was a little bit earlier on the initial one. I mean, we're definitely pushed into the later timeline now, so it definitely doesn't matter. And it's crazy to be two years past the failed vote, and we don't even know where they're going. They have not even announced to anybody where either people are trying to put their stadium. That's weird. That's taking way too long. And I'm not pretending like I saw Frank White's recall vote is on September 30th, next Tuesday.
Okay.
So we'll find out whether or not Frank White gets recalled from his position as Jackson County Commissioner. And we understand some of the issues that have taken place between the council, him, the teams, people just not wanting it because they had a chance to vote for it and it got whipped in the vote process in Jackson County. It was not particularly close. And so I understand why you had to like sit back and reset and do all that stuff. But if you wanted Kansas's money, wouldn't you have taken it by now? Go, they've had a million opportunities to take it. They keep hoping Missouri is going to have a better offer. And they probably don't.
Unless again, this goes back to
better offer by now.
Unless this goes back to at some point, if there's an issue, then come out and say it. Is there, you know, not the full story of the Star Bonds, or is the full story being told? Is the full story out there? Are they skeptical that the Star Bonds are exactly what they are presented as? And I'm not saying they are, but what is it? Because as you're saying, that's been on the table for quite some time now.
Yeah.
It's because ultimately, I think the Royals' initial plan always was downtown baseball.
And yes, and I...
And but then it turned into like, you know, then it turned to like inner, you know, around downtown. Well, obviously the site on 119th and Knoll is not around downtown.
It's not even close.
It's the suburbs.
Yeah. And it's, and look, they've always cited the battery, and the battery's in the suburbs. So they can, I'm sure, spin it in a way that makes sense for them. I'm just saying, like, don't believe either if they were like, we always loved you know, like excited to go, happy to take their money.
See, that part to me, doesn't matter at the end.
I just want to know where it
who
goes,
cares? Sure. I mean, like we say that. I mean, that
I
just
don't
happens.
Like when people say that, but
that
yeah,
just happens
right.
for. I mean, that happens when a team drafts a quarterback too. Like they're not going to come out and say, you know, we really like that other guy, but we'll make it work with this guy. Of course, they're going to be excited. They're not going to any business that doesn't hires a new CEO is like, well, we wanted the five other candidates, but this will work too. Like
this guy's fine.
Like. You know, ABC's like, well, we really wanted to hire this guy to broadcast our college football games, but you know, this guy will work too. No, they presented as it's that there was their first choice and they're very excited and yada yada yada.
I'd like a little honesty in life. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Let's get
honesty.
To the random question.
Random question.
Random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, we live stream the show all 4 hours. So if you want to see the cocktail we're making later, you can. Live streamed coming up on YouTube and Twitch. Obviously, just like and subscribe. Pops the top of your feed. Super easy over there. We're trying to get a growing number of followers over there. We've been, I don't know, it started like 600 people when we first started doing this video stream. And we're well over 4,000. So please, come join us. The random question I have today is a classic. Classic would you rather. I like putting you guys in a spot where you have to choose between two good things, I think, in this case.
Oh, all right.
Would you rather, Drew, Alex, text line 913-586-7965. Would you rather never get sick again? Not so much as a cold, a sniffle, an earache. I mean, you'll still die. It's not that. But, like, okay. You're not going to, like, feel
Thank
sick.
You.
I wanted to make it clear you didn't think you were just, like, living forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually it gets the better of you. But, you know, you're not going to get, like, a cold or those kinds of things. Or never have to do a house chore again for the rest of your life. Nothing inside. I want to specify.
This is easy.
Inside the house. This doesn't include lawn care.
This is one of the easiest questions. If the outside, like, stuff is taken out of it, and it's only chores inside, then it's never being sick. As someone
How often do you get sick, though? You're not, like, overly sick.
Yeah, but, like, this week, and I talked to Fesco about this week, like, congested this week. This includes allergies, by the way, too.
This is a tough time to ask you about sickness, because you're actively sick, which means you're not
My right ear, I cannot, it is very clogged up or something, and I need to get some Sudafed or whatever. But point is, never being sick is an easy answer.
I genuinely don't think I've ever taken Sudafed a day in my life, and maybe I'm missing out.
Yeah.
I don't take any decongestants or like flu, like that. I don't take any medicine.
So if you get sick, you just suffer through it then.
I guess. Does it really help?
We've talked about this before. I think Cody is a carrier. He doesn't have the symptoms. He carries it and spreads it to all of us.
I don't get sick. He thinks that, but like, I don't get sick very often.
You're not symptomatic.
I'm not. I am asymptomatic oftentimes when ill. Drew, which one are you choosing? You choosing sick too?
Yeah.
I'm choosing house chores.
I'd rather have good health in exchange for doing
chores. You're telling
chores.
Me. Agree. No more cleaning up dog hair. No more doing a dish. No more laundry. I'll get sick. I'll deal with it.
A couple of days of
rest. I get way more additional days of rest by getting rid of all of the interior parts of my house than for the two times a year I get sick. Like, I don't get sick enough to justify it. Look, maybe I'll regret this at some point, but... If you're telling me that all of the houseware is gone, I'm in. I'm in. Again, you're still going to die. I'm not trying to make it seem
like... Yeah, but you cannot get sick. This also means other, like, more serious illnesses and you know, diseases and everything. Yeah, this is a no-brainer. No-brainer. You trade
There's
out the...
a couple
the,
people on my
the,
side.
The sickness.
Never have to do house chore again in my life. Someone did ask if this includes diarrhea as far as illness goes. I believe
all
so.
Of it. All
I
of it. You
that
never
counts
You
as
don't
being
have
sick.
Any of this stuff ever again.
Is that the swing vote for you?
No, but
text
all
line?
Of it.
I'm just saying, is that the deciding factor?
No hangovers?
How
all
often
of it.
Is that happening
All
for
of
you?
It. No hangovers on top
as much
of
as
it?
You want to.
Yeah.
Hangover's tough. Does that count as sickness? That's self-induced. I don't know if that one. You might still get a hangover in my hypothetical. I'm not sure you're just going
to
be written. Eh,
Someone
you know
says, what? This just means Cody wants to be lazy.
Someone says if your house is clean house might help prevent the sickness naturally.
Yeah, there's no direct link that says you clean your house, you don't have diarrhea. Someone show me that study, please.
I'm just saying it's less likely if you keep a clean house to get ill.
It
Kids
is sort of self-induced.
Like,
diarrhea could be kind of self-induced
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, don't wash your hands well enough or
it
whatever.
It can
you know?
Be.
That's
well,
all.
What Someone, you put in your body, you know?
It actually is a little more split than I thought. Someone says, who does the work in your house? Did you just give all your work to your wife? I just said I don't want to do all those things. Obviously, if my wife just did all the housework, then I'd just be like, I guess I just won't get sick. She can keep cleaning the place. That's not how it works.
You have said that you want a robot to cut your lawn.
Yeah.
So that's...
And look, I don't mind some, like, generally speaking, it's not like I dread every time I have to do a dish. But like it,
that how much you cook? I would hope not.
I'll tell you right now. The first one, I'd be happy to get rid of his laundry.
See, this is the difference between kids and not. Because for me, laundry, I have no issue doing laundry.
At the end of the week, is probably three full baskets worth of fold, wash, clean, put away. You know, it takes forever. It is the longest chore in the entire house. Mm. It is longer than vacuuming. It is longer than dishes. It is longer than any of it.
But if you're sick, you're just miserable when you're sick. Well, it doesn't matter what you do.
This is where the answer is. It's just an excuse to sit around for a few days.
This is where the answer is different. No. As someone that doesn't have kids and it's just me, cleaning the apartment is not a big deal. I'd rather just never be sick.
Seems like the people who get sick less are happy to get rid of the house chores. Well, they're like, I get sick like once every 2 years. It's like generally speaking, the people who get sick less are voting that particular side.
Someone says from getting sick from their kids' daycare. See, that's the thing. If I spend time around my nephews, it's not, that's when I tend to, I feel like I end up getting more sick. My sister's a teacher. So if I'm near her, I feel like I'm basically around like 100 kids at the same time. And so I feel like that's how we get sick. Cody's kids are now back at school.
Like,
he doesn't
want
to admit it, but I honestly think sometimes that's also what prompts other people to get sick because he's around his kids. He comes in the office. It's just life is how it works. It's all contributed to that.
Mm-hmm. I got to start getting, I think we're probably in prime chore chart territory.
Oh, see, problem solved for you, Cody.
Maybe I'll wiggle into that. Although, again, some of it is just like, if I asked my 7-year-old, like, hey, you want to fold this laundry and put it away? It'd go horribly.
Mm. Teach him.
Teach him how to do it better? What if I got him one of those little plastic things like they work
perfect.
In a department store?
Perfect.
To fold the shirts. How do I feel about that?
At least, like.
That seems like it'd be fun for them, maybe, right?
Well, I don't know about fun.
We all had to do.
I don't know.
More fun than folding it regular.
Growing up, my brother, sister, and I, we would have to like draw straws and then we would pick what chore we did. It could be anything from vacuuming
the one you hated
to
the most?
Dusting. I enjoyed vacuuming more than anything else.
Yeah, same.
Probably doing dishes was, I think, the worst one.
Dishes.
Now I have, like, entertainment. Like, when I was a kid, I hated the dishes, but now I can just listen to music or... I couldn't,
of course.
The CD player, I don't care, it said anti-skip 8 seconds as many times as one. You couldn't have, like, a CD player in your hip doing dishes. That thing had skipped so many damn times. The anti-skip thing never worked.
Right.
Now I could just put an iPad up and put a show on while I do them. I don't care. Dishes don't bother me that much. Laundry does. Laundry takes so long. Or cleaning up toys or a million other things. My kids yesterday, there's in my daughter's room, and I made them clean it up, but in my daughter's room, when she was like getting ready to go to bed last night, there were 50 stuff, whatever, however many she has. Yeah. Every single stuffed animal they own was on the floor because they held a funeral for a balloon that had popped at my son's birthday party. It was the number 7 balloon. They did a eulogy. My daughter wrote it and my son, but the stuffies were everywhere. You're telling me I don't even have to like direct someone to clean it up or help? No, that just like it's just picked up. I'm in. It was quite the moving service, by the way. She wrote stage directions in there, which he did not understand at first. Mm. So it said, "Dearly beloved, the 7 balloon has died." She called it a dead box, not a coffin. She said, the 7 balloon has died. And then he read it, because he read it word for word. She wrote it, and he said, "Cries?" And she's like, "No, you got to cry. You got to cry."
She scripted
out the whole thing.
You see, it was a moving...
Real eulogy. Moving ceremony, you know? Lots in attendance for the balloon.
Oh,
I have
my
video
goodness.
Of it if you guys want to see it. Someone said, once again, kids ruin everything.
Sounds like it.
I mean, they're just makes life more work.
I don't know about that.
They ruin everything. Some things are harder.
I'm not anti-kids, but it definitely seems like it.
It sounds like your kids were very... They felt bad for the balloon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's similar to something I felt bad for yesterday.
Then they spent like 3 minutes just yelling, "Why?"
Yeah, I don't know what's weirder,
like
Drew. The 9-year-olds doing a fake funeral or you.
I feel bad for the eggplant.
That was a
weird Do you still feel bad?
Yeah. I feel sorry for the eggplant.
That's the random question of the day.
I do. I still feel the same way. As a matter of fact, I thought about it when I did not pose
it. You thought about it more
as you drove
home?
I did not pose the question.
You were thinking about the eggplant.
To my place. But I know I was at the grocery store and I happened to come across, I happened to pass by and I was like, Look at this vegetable. It is lost.
Wants a t-shirt where it's just like the poor eggplant. Like he wants a Sarah McLachlan style commercial, but instead of like people starving or animals starving, he just wants like photos in black and white of an eggplant being misrepresented.
That's the best way to put it. It's been misrepresented.
Okay.
It's a terrible vegetable, by the way. And I'm pro most vegetables. Awful one. One of the worst. It gets mushy too quick. Tastes awful. Generally bad vegetable.
I've only had eggplant like a handful of times.
I don't
times,
think I've had eggplant yeah. before. Yeah.
After all this, he's never he's even consumed it.
He's a defender over there, and he's...
I don't have to eat it to feel bad for how it's for how someone, it's na- for how its likeness says, is.
Please play that Sierra Leone Kids Cherry.
We don't have that anymore.
I don't know. That used to be like
it was accidentally in the system.
Hidden in the trash of the day. What was that for?
I don't remember what it was. That's a throwback to like 3-4 years ago.
That's a great call. That got accidentally played by every fill-in producer for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have that anymore. I'm sorry, Tesla.
Someone says we should be apologizing to the OG, the banana, not the eggplant. Actually, fair enough.
I'm just saying, like, but you don't send a banana emoji to his point if you're making that point.
No, but right. That person's saying that was the OG before.
Oh, I see. The real life.
Do example. I feel the same way about peaches? Somebody asks.
It's a good point.
That's a pretty good point. That's a really good comeback, actually. That's a really...
And the peach is a great fruit.
Peaches are great.
Peaches are standalone. Peaches are wonderful.
Who doesn't like peaches? Yeah.
Some people.
All right. Should we have Binkley come in?
Yeah.
Make some drinks.
Let's get his thoughts on all this. Fan Club Friday, presented by Jay Rieger, begins. We'll talk more about this Chiefs-Ravens game and a little update maybe from Andy Reid as well. That's coming up right now on 96.5 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.